Laura's mind flashed to her early days in Creighton. She was behind the bar at Molly's when Molly saw her when she came in. She crossed the room to the bar, looking confused.
Well, hello there, Miss Tardy.
What the?
I think the words you're looking for are, thanks for covering for me, Laura. You're the best.
I guess I'm just surprised.
Hey, no thing. Just giving you shit. Besides...
Laura picked up a glass near her.
I'm not exactly alone back here.
You're drinking? Behind my bar?
I mean, yeah. You know how it is.
Laura set the drink down and leaned on the bar, a hand under her chin.
How do you handle it? Like, life? I feel like all I do is screw up and let people down.
Well, you're the one covering for me. You're singing a song I wrote.
Yeah, but I'm still a mess. Probably why I'm alone, too. Can't imagine getting involved with anyone. Everything I touch turns to garbage.
Molly took off her jacket and draped it over the back of a chair. She smiled at Laura.
Good thing we're just friends then, huh? But look, Laura, I get what you're saying. We all just have to own our mistakes, you know? Our failures make us stronger. We fuck up, we make amends, we keep going. It's the only thing we can do, right?
Molly moved behind the bar as Laura moved to the other side of it, lost in her thoughts.
Fuck up, make amends, keep going. Embroider that shit on a pillow and sell it for a dollar.
Hey, I know you. You're the cops reporter, right? From the Courier?
A younger Rebecca Heddle walked towards Laura and Maggie.
This seat taken?
Laura smiled.
Sure, free country. And yeah, that's me. I'm surprised, though. People usually don't recognize the faces behind the bylines.
Rebecca sat down next to Laura.
Rebecca Heddle, Creighton Homicide. See you coming in here like your life depended on it. I know that feeling.
Laura and Rebecca shook hands.
Nice to meet you, bud. I'm not sure I get what you mean.
Sure you do.
Rebecca pulled out her card and handed it to Laura. Laura took it and gazed down at the information on it.
Give me a call if you ever really want to talk. About getting better. About waking up.
I just hope this is the right thing to do.
It is. Trust me.
Rebecca stood against Molly's staircase, arms folded as they waited for Laura.
Sometimes an intervention is exactly the right thing.
I just don't want Laura to think we don't see her or recognize her progress.
Look, it's great she's not drinking, but sometimes drunks like us shift gears and obsess about something else. And it might be even more dangerous. If she's not careful, it'll catch up with her.
That's exactly what I've been worried about. Hello, nightmares.
Laura walked into the room and saw the looks of concern on both of their faces. She stopped.
Oh, fudge. Okay, so let me guess. The two women closest to me assume the worst. What is this? What's happening?
We're just worried about you, Laura. We need to know your extracurricular activities aren't in control.
Molly looked stricken.
I called Rebecca because you need help. And because we love you.
Shit. I may as well just post my Black Ghost ID on the internet, since everyone already knows.
Your girl's right, Dominguez. Look at your face.
Well, sometimes the bad guys hit back, okay? But you both know I'm not drinking. I know you're worried, and I get it, but I'm not being reckless.
Laura smiled.
But I am sneaking into a high-class strip club for a story tonight. So if y'all want to help me cover up these bruises and get ready, that's the kind of help I need right now.
A short time later, Molly and Laura stood in the bathroom while Rebecca leaned against the doorway. Molly was putting the finishing touches on Laura's makeup.
This is insane.
A lead's a lead, Molly.
Still, crazy. You could get hurt.
She's right, Molly. Clues fade if you don't follow them.
Her club looks in place, Laura walked through the apartment to Molly.
Thank you, baby. I really appreciate this.
She kissed her and then headed for the door.
Be careful, okay?
I will. Stop worrying about me. Both of you.
They watched her go.
Did we make the right call? Or are we just enabling her?
She's one of the tough ones. Tougher than she even knows.
Outside, Laura navigated toward Ernesto at their new Black Ghost lair.
I love them. They mean well, but the intervention still stings, because I know they're right. I need to find balance.
She entered the lair and walked down the steps to see Ernesto at the console.
Glitch?
He turned towards her as she crossed the room to him.
I like the new look, Misty. But what's the occasion?
I'll fill you in later. We've got bigger problems.
Well, tag me in, boss. What's our plan?
You know I don't get dressed up for nothing, kid. Listen up. I found a book of matches from an old town dump named Stallions in LeGrand's office. Shithole that's only gotten worse over time. On the corner of Guerra and Riso.
So, dude likes getting a lap dance?
That's the thing. LeGrand's a family guy through and through. Doesn't fit.
So then what's his deal?
That's what we're gonna find out.
Laura moved through the Stallion Club. She was dressed up as a server, a skin-tight, faux tuxedo-looking outfit that matched the other workers. Glitch was with her via earpiece.
LeGrand wanted me to find those matches. This could be a lead on that big, bad ledger we talked about. Petal put me in touch with a connect at Stallions.
She moved through the people to the bar.
So here we go. Glorious Dynam, give me strength.
She sidled up to a blonde in the same outfit, waiting for her drink orders. Once the bartender set them down, Laura flashed a smile at the blonde and picked up the tray.
I got this one.
The blonde looked confused, but let it go. Laura walked through the club, tray in hand.
Okay.
How's it going, Teach?
Well, I might not be blending in as well as I'd hoped. Time to maximize my snooping before the jig is up.
Laura headed for a door to the back offices of the club, found it unlocked, and entered. She closed the door behind her.
Eureka.
Ahead of Laura were two large filing cabinets in a small office.
Hello, hidden dark back room.
She moved over to the file cabinets and stopped.
Hello, large collection of incriminating evidence.
Using a small flashlight, she quickly rifled through a few drawers, trying to see if anything on the file labels jumped out at her.
Interesting, but not exactly what I'm looking for.
She turned toward a poster on the wall of a Travolta movie that just seemed a little out of place for the office.
Oh, hello there. Now we're talking.
She pulled the poster off the wall and dropped it to the floor.
And bingo. Thank you, John Travolta, for the big bad jackpot.
Beneath the poster was a bulletin board with pictures and names. Someone else was keeping tabs on the major players in Creighton. Laura looked at it and jotted down all the names as quickly as possible.
All my greatest hits are here. Boyle, O'Mara, LeGrand, and... oh shit. Him too?
She stopped on a photo of a middle-aged man. The caption to it read, M. Sylvester, City Commissioner.
Ernesto's dad, Miguel Sylvester, was a power player back in the day, but rebranded himself a reformer. So why is this picture on this wall of shame?
She put her finger to the comm in her ear.
Glitch, checking in. You with me? Glitch!
Having some trouble, Glitch.
That's not an encouraging response.
Teach, I got you. Sorry, having some weird tech issues on this side. What you got?
Laura kept scanning the board, giving Glitch names and taking photos.
Huh. James Alvern.
Alvern, got it. Who's he?
Former Creighton mayor, before O'Mara. Right wing, ultra-Christian, ultra-conservative. You know the type, not big on credibility. A ticking time bomb for scandal.
Below Alvern's picture was a newspaper clipping. It said, Mayor Alvern implicated in sex scandal.
When the hammer fell, no one was surprised. They were only shocked by what came next. His death was abrupt, and so obviously not a suicide.
Okay, hold up, I found some stuff that might fit.
Shoot, kid.
You know anything about a Mrs. Alvern?
Laura's eyes widened.
He had a wife? Crap. Should have known that.
Texting you some quick rep. Got it?
She opened her phone and stared at the video Glitch sent.
Yeah. Why didn't I know about her?
She hit play. It turned out the video clip was from a speech Mrs. Alvern gave after her husband's death. It had made all the local channels.
There is blood on the police force's hands. It's clear!
The video cut back to the news desk.
Former mayor's wife has been an outspoken critic of the Creighton PD, blaming them for her husband's grisly murder. Alvern noted the PD's inaction, quote, will not go unpunished.
Oh no, I should have seen it. Holy shit.
BG, what is it, you there?
I'm here, Glitch. How did I miss that?
What? What is it, Teach?
I think I know who.
A young man entered the office. He stopped when he saw Laura.
Hey, what the hell are you doing in here? Get back out! Wait a sec! You're not one of the pony girls!
Shit.
Laura reached up, quickly pulling off the wig she was wearing, and threw it at the man. It hit him square in the face.
What?
Laura crossed the room, grabbed the man, and slammed him up against the wall.
Tell me everything you know about the Alverns, or talking is going to hurt for a while.
I don't know nothing. You're crazy. I don't know
Did
shit.
Did I say you could think it over, bro? Talk. Now.
All right. Back off and I'll talk. The Alverns are dead, but she's still around and still calls the shots.
Still around? How?
Laura shoved the man back against the wall, then headed for the door.
I don't know, man. She's just watching from the street level.
She walked out of the Stallion Club and down the street. She was happy to have an answer, but furious at herself for not seeing it sooner.
Deborah Alvern is Harrow? And she's on a killing spree to even the odds? Does everyone in this town deal with their problems via murder? Glitch, we've got our background. Deborah Alvern, former mayor's wife, has major gripes with Creighton and the police that she thinks let her husband die.
Damn, she dove off the deep end and hit the bottom hard. So what now?
Still thinking on that. Look, Glitch, gotta go. Need to handle something.
You good?
Negative, partner, but I'll keep you posted.
In one of Creighton's nicer areas, Laura stood on a well-maintained porch. She felt bad about not telling Ernesto where she was going, but wanting to keep him and his family safe outweighed any potential feelings of embarrassment. A middle-aged Latino man opened the door. He was handsome and looked like an older version of Ernesto, with a mustache.
Miguel Sylvester, Laura Dominguez, we need to talk.
He let her in and closed the door. They walked to the kitchen.
You're Ernesto's teacher, right?
Yeah, but that's not why I'm here.
There was a brief silence that Miguel broke with an offer.
I just made some cafe. You look like you could use it.
He moved to the counter and picked up a carafe and poured a mug.
So what's your story, Miguel? What do you and people like LeGrand and the Alverns have in common?
Well, you're abrupt. I can see why Ernesto likes you. You can trust me. I am decent, but I wasn't always.
He turned and handed her the mug.
I know you've been a good friend to Ernesto. He's lucky to have you in his life.
He's a great kid. You should get to know him.
Miguel looked down.
I guess I deserve that. What is the saying? It's easy to be a father, harder to be a dad.
Cobain?
Hmm?
Never mind. Continue.
I was ambitious in my youth. I wanted power, or to be near it, to taste it. That meant I had to be around people like Alvern, his wife, LeGrand, and Omara. I'm ashamed to say I liked holding court among them, having power over Creighton.
What changed? You had a white light moment?
Something like that, yes. I realized what I was doing was useless, selfish. I found a greater calling.
Miguel picked up a small frame on the counter.
But I was too late.
What do you mean?
I lost it all. My family was gone. Just an ex-wife I paid and a son I saw every other weekend. A shell of a life.
What about Deborah Alvern? What can you tell me about her?
Deborah Alvern? Why do you want to know about her? She's missing, presumed dead.
I just want to know where her deal is, you know? What made her tick?
I think something broke inside her. Deborah Alvern was insane, but not in the way you think. She was always bloodthirsty, cunning. But when her husband's scandal broke, and then he was murdered, she just snapped. I suppose it's not a big leap that she went from an ultra-conservative ideologue to
Harrow.
Yes.
So this scandal went against everything her ultra-conservative vibe stood for. And now she's going after the people who betrayed her husband. Like Omara. Frank Santoro's son, Johnny? So, the million-dollar big question is, who's next? And who else knows Alvern and Harrow are one and the same?
If she's trying to kill off her dead husband's past associates, well, it's a short list. That includes me.
Laura set down the mug, turned, and headed for the door. Miguel followed her.
Look, I gotta run. I need to check on someone. Fast.
Wait. You're not thinking.
Outside, they moved quickly toward Lara's car.
She wouldn't. Right? She'd come for me, not Ernesto.
Laura had her phone out while getting into the car.
Kid, pick up. Damn it. What kid your age isn't glued to their phone? Pick it up!
What the hell?
A blast of static erupted from her phone as Miguel looked at her through the open car door.
Please, don't let anything happen to my son.
Ernesto! Pick up! Ernesto! Ernesto! Ernesto!
Realization came too slow. Shit. Harold's not just gunning for people that wronged her husband, but their families too.
Laura sped out of the driveway and back toward the Black Ghost lair.
And the best way to get to a guilt-ridden father is through his son.
She made it back to the lair quickly. When she got inside, she stopped. She looked in horror as everything in the room lay in disarray. The motorcycle knocked over, bulletin board on the floor. The only thing that seemed to still be working were the computer monitors.
Gone. Ernesto is gone. And it's my fault. Again.
She pulled out her phone.
Malls. Yeah, it's me. I need help. It's bad. It's Ernesto. He's gone. I think he's in trouble. Rebecca's not answering. Hold on, Malls.
Laura? Laura, are you there?
Laura righted the motorcycle.
Oh, no. That sound? No, not now. It can't be.
Lone's avatar appeared on all three screens.
No, not you. Not now.
Hey, it's Hetal. You around? I need your help.
Laura, you just cut out. What's going on?
I think I'm in trouble. Laura.
The texts came quickly, all on top of each other. Laura froze in the middle of the room, not knowing where to turn or what to do.
No idea what's happening. I'm frozen. No clue what to do. Ernesto's gone. That's on my shoulders. Who's gunning for me? Where did I go wrong? No. Have to focus. On Ernesto. I made a promise to protect him.
She stared at the floor, willing herself to focus.
Come on, kid. They didn't get you. You're too good. Way better than me. So what are they after?
Hello, Laura. Remember me?
Laura looked up at the computer monitors and saw Lone's avatar, in red, on all three screens.
I told you I wasn't done with you yet. And this time, it's going to hurt.
A distraught Laura walked down the middle of the cubicle farm in the courier offices. Head down, hands jammed into her pockets.
Okay, Laura. One foot in front of the other. Towards research. Research always helps. It helps me try and forget how badly I screwed up. Again. Forget how badly I left Ernesto in the...
She walked past Lipman, trying not to be seen by him.
Hey, Dominguez. What are you doing here so early? Can't get enough brownie points from Mags?
No. Trying to fix something, actually.
Oh, yeah? What?
She stopped and decided to take a chance with her office nemesis.
Actually, hey, do you have a minute? I might need your help.
Really? You need my help with research?
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
Say no more, Dominguez. Have I got a place for you?
Okay. You got a secret clubhouse or something?
Better than that. Come on, follow me.
He took her by the wrist and led her toward the stairs. He opened the door and they stepped into a quiet stairwell heading down.
Ever been down here?
I'm not quite sure where here is, so no. And if you're taking me somewhere to get murdered, I'm going to be very upset.
Not today.
They exited the stairwell into a small hallway. It looked like no one had been down on this level for a long time.
Most people here don't know about it, and I only found it by accident.
Lipman led them to an open doorway. Then he led Laura into the room, stopped, and then bowed dramatically with a sweeping arm gesture.
Dominguez, may I cordially invite you to my secret stash of back issues, the archive.
She looked around. The room was full of filing cabinets and boxes. It was a researcher's dream.
Whoa, you're the Scrooge McDuck of old newspapers?
Impressed?
Kind of, Lipman. Not gonna lie.
Laura explained to Lipman what she was after, and together, they dug into the files, searching for any info on Deborah Alver.
Time flies when you're a reporter knee-deep in hard copy research. Not sure how long I was actually in there with Lipman. I got lost in the details. Got you. Got you so good.
Find something?
Take a look at this sweet baby.
Laura held a paper out to Lipman.
It's an official name change form for one Deborah Alvern. Before she was Debs, she was known as Daisy Sparing.
Pretty big change.
Guess being called Daisy doesn't fly when you're a conservative politician's wife.
All right, up top. The secret stash delivers again.
Bet your ass it did. I won't forget this, man. Thank you.
Laura stood up and headed back toward the stairs. She practically jogged up the stairs.
Step aside, Jesus. Research really saves. Also, damn, am I starting to like Lippman? Maybe I do have some bigger problems to work through.
Laura slipped into her cubicle and got to work.
Now to fill in the gaps. Use the data to make connections. Then make shit happen. Daisy, Daisy. God bless hippie parents, huh? Now to see if Miss Daisy owns any real estate.
She dug through numerous documents as the day passed. She was laser focused. And eventually...
Yahtzee. We have contact. I'm coming for you, Harrow.
She found a real estate property linked to Daisy Sparing. Mara's phone buzzed. Molly showed on the caller ID.
Oh, shit.
She answered.
Hey, babe.
Laura, where the hell have you been?
At work?
You didn't think a quick call or text would be something I'd need after last night? Look, just tell me the truth. Am I enabling you?
What? No, Malls, you know I'm not drinking.
I'm not talking about drinking. It's not just alcohol with you. I think you're channeling your obsessive tendencies into that damned costume. It's taking over.
Laura scribbled down the address of Daisy's property, desperate to get off the phone.
Look, I really can't talk about this right now. I gotta go. Ernesto needs me. I love you, Malls.
Laura ended the call. Across town, Molly stood in her apartment.
Laura? Laura!
She looked down and saw that Laura had ended the call.
And off into danger she goes again, blowing her last chance.
Laura stood up from her desk, left the cubicle, and headed for the elevator. She was determined, yet the call with Molly left her mentally scrambling. There was a lot on her mind. She tried to focus.
You got this, Black Ghost. You got this.
Lippman, at his cubicle, heard her and turned slightly at the pep talk. Laura didn't notice it and continued to the elevator.
We'll do this step by step. Jet down to the address, save Ernesto, kick Harrow's ass, fix things with Molly. Easy peasy, right?
Laura slowed the car down as she reached the listed property. It was an old church in disrepair just outside the city. A tall bell tower stood over the front entrance, with the rest of the building stretched out behind it. A low-lying fog only added to the creepiness of the area.
Wow, this place is a lot. Ominous much? Perfect fit for a drama queen like Hera, though.
Within minutes, she was suited up as Black Ghost. She crept toward the church doors, looking for any signs of danger.
All suited up and ready to go. Not like the last time. This party crashing is gonna go a little different. For starters, I'm not hungover, so big win there. God, I don't miss being hungover. Shit, someone's creeping up behind me.
She turned quickly at the sound.
All right, creeper, you picked the wrong woman to sneak—
Hey, Deej.
Ernesto?
Ernesto stood, unharmed, a goofy smile on his face. She rushed to him and embraced him.
Kid! You're alive! What the... How the hell?
Oh, it's a hugging moment, I guess.
You had me scared shitless! What happened?
She let go of him.
Well, so I was minding my own business, doing some research on this Harrow lady. Just, you know, trying to figure out who her next target was gonna be. Tracking her shit list, I guess, but then I fell into a rabbit hole. Creighton's best sandwich shops, as one does, and one of them was near, and it was refuel time, so I stepped out for a bite. Mine's still fully on the case, though, of course. When I got back to the Marco Cave, it was straight wrecked. And I knew then that I was on the shit list, too. I had to hide out, lay low, and try to figure out who was gunning for me. So, what do you think, Teach? Who's the next target?
I think... Shit. Who else could Harrow duck to get to me? That's what I'm thinking.
She playfully punched Ernesto's shoulder, a smile on her face.
Damn, kid. You couldn't text me to let me know you were okay?
Well, that's the rest of it, Miss D. All my texts started to get wonky. Every message I sent was blocked. I tried everything I could to work around it, but they...
I know. It was Lone. I saw them too.
They hacked Glitch too. It's complete toast. My phone is burnt.
Whoever Lone is, they're back, and they found us. They took over Marco's computer system.
The last message I was able to hack pointed me here, so I came. I'm sorry I let you down. I guess I still got a lot of learning to get to his level.
Are you kidding me? You're the pro here. Don't forget that. I couldn't do what I do without my trusty tech whiz. And no ex-hacker douche will ever make me forget that. Well, guess that's my cue.
The door to the church opened as Lara pulled Ernesto back into the shadows. Lara could tell it was Harrow.
Now this feels good.
This is creep factor 12. Unfucking believable.
Got a doppelganger now, Teach.
She's gonna be a dead doppelganger.
It was Harrow, but now she wore a costume that looked exactly like Lara's black ghost costume. She looked around the grounds before going back inside the church. Staying hidden in the shadows, Ernesto pulled an old laptop out of his backpack.
All right, I'm going in. It's time to settle this. I'm tired of things happening to us.
Been working on modifying some older tech to loan-proof it. Let's just see... Ooh, Glitch is back in business. Go get him, Teach. I got you covered.
Lara crept out of the shadows towards the church.
Gonna play this nice and subtle. Show how the real Black Ghost gets things done. Or at least how this Black Ghost does.
She stopped near some windows. She could see a fire burning along the back wall of the church.
Everything's going according to plan.
It's all coming along nicely.
Voices. Two people chatting it up. But who is Harrow talking to? You gotta be kidding me. That voice.
Lara stole around to the front door. She opened it quietly and stepped inside. She stayed in the shadows and tried to hear what was going on.
Makes perfect sense, though. You got the outfit, then you need the matching voice in your ear, too. Glitch, seems like Harrow's gone way over the edge.
How so?
Lone, she's talking like she's got a massive audience, or someone's tapped into what she's saying.
Across the room, Harrow opened her arms wide, smiling and gazing at the flames as they licked up the wall.
It's time for it to burn! Burn! Cleanse this poison city! Burn with all you got! Let your fire spread and wash this city clean of its filth!
Lara moved stealthily to a row of pews, trying to get closer to Harrow.
Should I be offended that she's even nuttier when wearing my outfit?
It's never too early to stoke the flame of salvation!
Oh, damn. A grand?
She saw the commissioner tied to a chair near the fire, his head down.
Soon everything will be in place. No, don't worry. The bastard isn't going anywhere. We have plenty of time.
Lara realized that Harrow wasn't grandstanding for LeGrand. She was talking to someone she couldn't see.
LeGrand looks rough. Can't imagine what Harrow's been doing to him here.
Lara kept to the shadows and moved along the wall, staying out of Harrow's line of sight. She made it behind LeGrand and crouched there.
Hey, LeGrand. LeGrand, you alive up there? Wake up. Calvary's here.
Was wondering when you'd show up. Never thought I'd be happy to see you, of all people.
Gee, I'm blushing over here. So what's the deal? What got you on Harrow's to-kill list?
Lara got to work, trying to untie the commissioner.
It's what always happens to me, Gis. I made a deal with the wrong people. Eventually, we all have to pay back what we've borrowed. We thought Boyle would be good for the city. Bringing in some new money. Maybe not the cleanest money, but still. But he overreached, became a nuisance, and it was up to me to keep him in check. He botched things bad, and once you decide to put on some tights and expose him, well, he'd become toxic. It was time to pivot, as they say. I needed to find a new weapon, a new first option to keep the city in check. I know it was the wrong move, but Creighton's just a series of wrong moves backed by good intentions, right? I gave this city everything I had. Everything I did was for its survival. It's the only thing I have left.
Harrow's sword stabbed through LeGrand and then through the back of the chair, missing Lara by inches.
You fulfilled your purpose, Commissioner. Waste not, want not.
Harrow left the sword in LeGrand's body and kicked him in the chest, knocking him over.
You two chatty Cathys weren't talking about me, were you? Why doesn't anyone ever want to know my story? I'm bored with men and their monologues.
Lara stood slowly, ready for the fight.
I'm interested.
Are you now? Then I'll begin. Let me take you back to the darkest day of my life. My husband had just been murdered, but the cops turned a blind eye. God forbid they do any real work. So it was up to me. I started like I would any major project, with the list.
Harrow pointed at LeGrand's body.
LeGrand had information I needed, so we struck up a deal. My services for his intel. I knew what he had, you see? His ledger with all of Creighton's big bad secrets. That's the only way a slug like him lasts this long. He was feeding me bits and pieces, keeping me subservient. But the more I learned about Creighton, about the people that failed me and my husband, the more I needed to do something about it.
Harrow walked over and stood next to LeGrand. She looked down at him.
And LeGrand never thought I'd discover his deepest, darkest. That he was responsible for my husband's death. But no more. No more men with their hypocrisy. No more loose ends.
But why kill him? Why not continue to use his connections to get what you want?
Harrow smiled maniacally as the fire behind her climbed up the walls.
Because what I want is revenge. So it's time to make my final transformation into you.
I'm ready when she swings this time.
Harrow threw a punch that Lara ducked. Lara shifted to the side.
She's fast, but I'm scrappy, and I know how to hit where it hurts.
Lara threw a counterpunch into Harrow's ribs.
Oh, you'll pay for that, you fraud!
Harrow backpedaled away from Lara.
The fire protects me, Black Ghost. The smoke shields me from you.
Smoke began to fill the large room, obscuring Harrow from Lara's view.
God, you're a lot. Come on, Alvern. Stop this madness. You need help.
What I need is well within reach, my dear.
Lara moved forward carefully, ready for anything.
Lost her in the smoke, feeling lightheaded. Gotta lock this down before she escapes. Come on! Let's keep talking this out!
A smoke canister hit Lara on the back of the head. She fell forward to her knees. She looked up to see two black ghosts standing nearby.
That smoke really isn't helping. Suddenly I feel like I'm seeing double. But I know that can't be right.
The two figures attacked. Woozy from the smoke, Lara did her best to block the attacks with limited success.
Punches coming from everywhere, shielded by smoke.
Harrow landed a hard kick.
A sharp kick to my midsection winds me and I'm down again. How can she be so fast?
Lara found herself on her knees again, looking up at Harrow. Another figure stepped forward out of the smoke.
Surprise!
Lara looked at the second figure. The face looked familiar.
Am I hallucinating or is this all my nightmares rolled into one?
She realized the mask the second figure wore was a recreation of Lone's avatar.
Nice to see you again, dear Lara.
Glitch, are you seeing this shit?
Yeah, Teach. Hang on, I'm working on something that might help. Try to hold him off a little while longer.
Easier said than done, kid, but I'm on it.
Happy to see me, Lara. Did you really think I was gone?
As happy as anyone would be to see a cockroach return to their kitchen.
Lara went on the offensive, throwing a kick at Lone that only grazed him, then quickly turned to Harrow.
Oh, I haven't forgotten about you.
She threw a punch at Harrow that caught her square in the jaw, snapping her head back. Lone and Lara circled each other.
It was so much fun to manipulate you, Lara. I needed a puppet in this town, and who better than a drunk reporter with a cape fetish?
Boyle?
Bingo.
Of course you'd have a creepy stalker hobby.
And it was all going so well. You fit the part perfectly, but then you started believing you could be more. You cut me out. Disappointed.
Harrow recovered and moved next to Lone. Lara smiled as she shifted to a new tactic.
So you did what you always do, Boyle. You used someone else to do your dirty work.
You got into Harrow's head and made her think that LeGrand was to blame. To clear a path so you could take over the city.
What?
No, that's not—
I'm sorry. Was that you just viewing all the independent women empowerment in a city of corruption, Harrow? Or am I getting my villains confused?
You mean I still don't have my revenge? My victory?
Now she's catching on. Glitch, you got something for me?
You won't stop me from my revenge!
Harrow attacked, but not Lara this time. Harrow and Lone grappled with one another while Lara watched.
Don't be an idiot. Can't you see she's manipulating you?
You mean like you have been? Like every man in this town who bows down to corruption?
Breach, sis.
Stop. We're so close. You're going to ruin everything.
Peach, I've got something, but I'm not sure how big it's going to be. You might want to take cover. Like now.
Lara dove under a pew. An explosion shattered all the glass in the building, dropping it all down on top of Lone and Harrow. Lara pulled herself out from under the pew, the fire in the room decreasing. She looked around. Ernesto appeared in the open doorway.
Yo, are you good, Teach? Was that okay?
Nailed it, kid. We did it.
Lara smiled to herself.
In that moment, I realized I'd had enough of people trying to control me, trying to keep me down.
Ernesto carefully picked his way toward her.
Thanks to Molly, to my program, I've been able to claw back, to have a life. I was this close to becoming a total preachy mess like Harrow, or a flaming narcissist like Lone. But I got a shot at being the hero instead. A person I never imagined I could be.
Oh crap, where'd Lone go? I don't see him.
Lara looked at the floor. Red droplets led to a window.
Boyle leaves a trail of blood a blind man could follow.
Lara looked at the blood trail, then turned to Ernesto.
I don't think he'll be hard to find.
So, are we gonna pursue? I mean, he's been the big bad from day one, right? Our nemesis?
Well, let him run and tucker himself out. He won't get far.
Lara produced some rope, leaned down, and tied up Harrow. Then, she and Ernesto walked outside. As they were exiting the church, they looked up to see Detective Rebecca Heddle walking toward them.
The cavalry arrives in the form of Rebecca, just like I planned. Reliable old Detective Heddle.
Quite the mess here, Ms. Ghost. I just drove past that rich asshole Boyle passed out in the driveway. I'm gonna assume he's tangled up in all this?
Yep. And his cohort, Harrow, the mime responsible for all those murders? She's tied up inside.
Lara and Ernesto kept walking.
So, we're gonna go. You can just pretend you didn't see us, right? Or at least not the kid.
I got you. Don't worry. I'll talk to the uniforms when they arrive. Guess I'm officially vigilante support now.
Thanks. It's nice to not be alone.
Over the next few days, the newspapers went wild. The Creighton Courier ran with the headline, Alvern Unmasked as Harrow. Follow-up stories appeared the next day with headlines that said, Former First Lady clowning around with murder. Police commish dead. The Miami Times ran with a story on Boyle implicating him in the crimes. The headline read, Disgraced financier Boyle involved in Creighton murder spree. Another edition of the Creighton Courier asked, Is this the end of the Black Ghost? Lara saw that headline and smiled to herself.
The end? No way.
A few days later, Lara stood with a suitcase in Molly's apartment. The suitcase contained everything that Lara had there. Molly and Lara faced off across the living room.
Well, this is it, I guess.
You gonna be okay?
Yeah, Molls. This is my fault. I know that. We can play what if forever if we want to. And hey, maybe dating a bartender when you're an alcoholic isn't the best idea.
Are you sure about moving into that place? You can't make your costumed life your whole life, Lara.
It's okay, Molls. You can stop worrying about me.
Never.
The two hugged one last time, and Lara left. A little later, Lara stood inside the Black Ghost lair. It was still in disarray. She walked slowly among the mess.
Well, no one said recovery would be easy. Home, sweet new home. At least the Wi-Fi is good. Good place for a fresh start.
That night, Lara, in her black ghost gear, took to the rooftops. It was snowing and the cold was bracing.
Unpacking gets boring fast. I needed to get out. On patrol. And I stumbled into something good.
She let go of the rope and landed gracefully on a rooftop despite the snow. She peered over the edge at a group of men standing in an alley below.
Looks like the leftovers from the Santoro gang have brought a new agent into Creighton. Someone named Scythe. Shit can't be good. What's up with the name choices on these losers? Oh well. Another uppity crook looking to derail this city? Try it. I just took down Boyle, you insignificant little foot. I hear the footsteps before they want to be heard, and wheel around to see a blast from my past.
She turned, and a woman stood nearby.
Wait, you?
Forgetting the gang below and Scythe, Lara walked toward her.
Phoebe Swain, kick-ass journalist, all-around badass. She's back. Would probably make a better black ghost than me. Whatever, she can get in line. But her words hit me like a roundhouse kick to the face.
Lara stopped and noticed the grim look on Phoebe's face.
I know who killed Tomas, Lara. I know who killed your brother. Let's go.
The Black Ghost, Volume 2. Shame the Devil. The Black Ghost, Volume 2, Shame the Devil, published by Comixology Originals and Dark Horse Comics. Written by Alex Segura, Monica Gallagher, Ellie Wright, Taylor Esposito, Greg Lockard, with art by George Cambadias. The Black Ghost, created by Alex Segura, Monica Gallagher, and George Cambadias. The Black Ghost, Volume 2, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2020, Alex Segura, Monica Gallagher, and George Cambadias. All rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the licensor. Copyright 2023, Graphic Audio, LLC. All rights reserved. Narrated by Eric Messner. With performances by Alejandro Ruiz as Ernesto. Dawn Ursula as Harrow. Stephanie Nemeth Parker as Maggie Braffett. Kelly Baskin as Molly Milano. Marnie Penning as Kelly Himes. Rainer Gabriel as Barnabas. Matthew Pauly as Lipman. And Yenny Ann as Lara Dominguez. Also with Adrian Garcia, Bradley Foster Smith, Chris Davenport, David Quiqui, Eric Messner, Gabriel Michael, Jerry Marshall, Laura C. Harris, Mark Harrietha, Mort Shelby, Natalie Van Sistine, Nazia Chowdhury, Richard Rowan, Rob Morera, Ryan Carlo Delusung, Scott McCormick, Stephen Carpenter, Terrence Aselford, and Rose Elizabeth Supan. Adapted for graphic audio and directed by Eric Messner. Graphic audio dialogue editing and sound design by Casey Green. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers, Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. If you enjoyed The Black Ghost, you might also enjoy Dark Horse Comics X Series or Vampire Hunter D. These titles and many more are available in graphic audio. Keep listening for a preview of another exciting title in graphic audio.
AD, and the war against the vampires has taken its toll on humanity. Cities lie in ruin, and in small villages across the frontier, they still struggle against nightly raids by the fallen vampires, known as the Nobility. Having been bitten by the vampire lord Count Lee, Doris Lang, A brave, smart, and beautiful young woman living on the frontier is destined to an unholy fate.
I am Count Lee. Give me Doris Lang. If you do not, tonight, tomorrow night, every night, the ranks of the living dead shall swell.
Her only hope is to find a vampire hunter. A warrior pledged to eradicate the remaining vampires.
So you want to hire me? I take it someone in your family or one of your friends has been attacked. How many times have they been preyed upon?
Enter D.
Just the once, so far.
Are there marks from two fangs, or just one?
See for yourself.
But some hunters are better than others, and some bring their own kind of danger with them.
I want to be clear on one thing.
What? Just name it.
I'm a Dampier.
The legendary spawn of a vampire father and human mother, able to travel the world in the daylight, given exceptional speed and strength, cursed with an ungodly need for blood, and spurned by both races.
You have skill and power enough to intimidate father and myself, but you have forgotten your proud, noble blood. You feel some duty to the humans. Worse yet, you are foolish enough to serve them by hunting us. I feel polluted simply speaking to you.
Can Dee deliver Doris from her curse and bring her to salvation? Or will she forever be part of the unholy dead?
No matter how you hate it, you can't fight your blood. That's your destiny, and you know it deep in your bones.
Adapted in graphic audio with a full cast of actors, immersive sound effects, and cinematic music from creator Hideyuki Kikuchi and illustrator Yoshitaka Amano, Vampire Hunter D.
Transient guests, are we?
Thanks for listening to this graphic audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,500 titles to choose from. Listen to over 150 binge-worthy series, from sci-fi to fantasy, to graphic novels, to mystery thrillers, to action-adventure, to westerns, and more. Check out our exclusive titles, available only in our dramatized adaptation format. If you'd like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase a download series set at graphicaudio.net. You can also earn loyalty reward points, redeemable towards future online purchases. Stream audiobooks immediately or download them to listen offline on your mobile phone or tablet using our Graphic Audio Access app, which is available on all Android and Apple devices. We like being radically different when it comes to our audiobook productions. Listen to A Movie in Your Mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Visit our web store today at graphicaudio.net.